With Montana News, I'm Sean Robb. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell was in Montana today using Hauser Lake as a backdrop while urging Congress to permanently reauthorize the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Federal officials have cobbled together a temporary funding extension until Congress can decide whether to rededicate money from oil and gas royalties back into the fund. The U.S. Senate has moved to reinstate funding as part of a broader energy bill, but the House has yet to act. The Conservation Fund, established in 1965, lapsed last year, and Congress later extended it for 3 years. Historically, the program has received $900 million a year through royalties paid by energy companies that drill offshore for oil and gas. In recent years, that amount was reduced by more than half. Jewell made her plea at Devil's Elbow Recreation Area northeast of Helena. The federal government purchased the area in 1998 from Montana Power Company and other private landowners using $600,000 in conservation funds. The Interior Secretary also visited the Blackfeet Indian Reservation today. Montana attorneys are defending the state's new campaign finance law against a gun rights organization that once parts of it blocked before June's primary elections. Attorneys for the National Association for Gun Rights and Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell argued in federal court in Missoula today. The gun rights group requested an injunction against the law known as the Disclose Act, passed by state lawmakers last year. The Virginia-based association says the law would force it to register as a political committee just to make statements that are protected by the First Amendment. The city of Missoula says the recent sale of the city's water utility company should mean lower rates, but instead, city residents are being overcharged for water. Attorney for the city Natasha Jones made that argument in front of the Montana Public Service Commission. The PSC is in Missoula today and tomorrow, holding a hearing on the latest sale of Mountain Water Company. Jones says the sale of Mountain Water to its new parent company means lower interest rates on Mountain Water's debts. Those savings should be passed on to customers.
To ignore the truth of what is happening at the holding company and parent company would result in unjust rates.
Witnesses for the Canadian company that now owns Mountain Water said its rates are appropriate. A company executive told the PSC that investigations into the finances of parent or holding companies above it are irrelevant to Montana regulators setting prices. It's unclear what action or actions the PSC might take. These proceedings are outside Missoula's attempt to take ownership of Mountain Water through condemnation. That case is currently being considered by the state Supreme Court. The Belt High football coach and the school district are denying any negligence in the injuries that severely injured a high school football player. The 16-year-old is now a quadriplegic who cannot speak or care for himself. Attorney Roger Witt of Great Falls responded yesterday to a March lawsuit filed by Robert Back, his father, and stepmother. The lawsuit alleged Coach Jeff Graham knew Back suffered a concussion during a September 2014 game and that he was not to participate in football for a week. However, the lawsuit says Graham or a trainer verbally cleared Back to play in the next game. He collapsed on the sideline. The response says Graham did not receive a medical note or any information from the boy's doctor and did not clear Back to play the night he collapsed. U.S. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell visited Montana today. That included a stop in Browning, where she announced that the Blackfeet tribe will soon begin participating in the $1.9 billion Indian land buyback program. That program was launched when the federal government settled a lawsuit brought by Blackfeet tribal member Eloise Cobell in 2010. The suit demanded compensation for past mismanagement of Indian property held in trust by the government. Part of that compensation is being given as payments to allow tribes to consolidate small land holdings. Sally Jewell.
We hope we can spend $100 million here in taking these fractionated bits and pieces of ownership so that it can be in the hands of the Blackfeet Nation so you can do things with those lands that right now nobody can do anything with because the ownership is so fragmented.
The Interior Secretary also spoke in favor of permanently reauthorizing the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund. The fund uses offshore oil and gas drilling revenue to protect public lands. The Senate has passed reauthorization as part of a bigger energy bill, but the House has yet to act on it. A big fundraising opportunity for Montana nonprofits experienced some significant glitches today. MT Gives is hosted by the Montana Community Foundation. It brought together 12 communities and hundreds of local nonprofits for a day of focused online charity, but several participating websites experienced problems today. The foundation and individual communities are coming up with alternative ways of giving. Montana's gender pay gap was center stage today in Bozeman. On average, women in Montana earn 67% of what men do. Beth Sabo reports that much of the discussion at the Equal Pay Summit focused on transparency when it comes to wages.
Everybody should be certainly paid a fair wage for a fair day's work.
Governor Steve Bullock started day two of the summit by telling the crowd that he and the Equal Pay for Equal Work Task Force will work to pass a pay equity bill in the next legislative session. A similar bill failed to make it out of committee in 2015. Labor Commissioner Pam Busey sits on the task force and says they've lowered the wage gap one percentage point, but more needs to be done.
If you turn an identical resume with Joe and Jennifer, Joe exponentially gets the job and a higher pay than Jennifer. But I think even more important is to look at that over a lifetime of a woman's earning. It actually adds up to between $434,000 to $675,000. So that's a woman living on, you know, $500,000 less than her male counterpart.
The summit's keynote address came from Dr. Jen Welter, the first female coach in the NFL, who said achieving equality in the workplace has to be a joint effort between men and women.
This is so important to every woman in here. They will test you. If they can get away with it easy, guess what? They think you're not equal. It doesn't matter if you're talking about status or you're talking about pay. If they can chase you off, they would. You cannot let them use your gender against you. And you have to have guys who will advocate for you.
Welter said she's proud that now little girls can dream of coaching in the NFL and one day even playing. She hopes more businesses and organizations will follow suit in treating men and women equal.
If the men in the National Football League can put a woman on equal footing with the rest of the men, then can't we all?
For Montana Public Radio, I'm Beth Sabo.